This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Amber Walsh. We're going to set up the following topic. We're at a spot where three or four things are happening. Private equity valuations and the demand for deals is almost at an all-time high. And COVID-19 is returning some back up to 1,400 deaths a day or so and 150,000 infections. And some states hit a lot worse than others in the constant fight to vaccinate more people. In a few of those states, they've again slowed down the performance of elective procedures. And elective is a very, doesn't mean cosmetic. It means elective, meaning you could choose what time you're going to do them. So knee replacements, colonoscopies, and so forth. So in some states, notably Texas and a couple other markets, those have slowed down. But you've got, you know, sky-high valuations. Amber, as practices look again at determining what they continue doing, and obviously if they can't do the procedures that are their bread and butter and it impacts their EBITDA, what does that mean for private equity-sponsored practices? What does that mean for practices that want to sell either as a bolt-on or as a platform to a private equity sponsor? What does the slowdown in this, you know, stopping elective procedures, what does that mean for valuations in business?
Sure, absolutely. And this is an important topic. But I definitely think that investors and local healthcare communities and regulators are viewing this issue very differently now than a year ago. And some reasons are obvious why. But it is an important issue because the stability of your revenue obviously is a big part of pricing a deal. It's also really important for planning for your portfolio companies in which you are already invested as to what to expect, how to staff, you know, what is going to happen relative to the elective procedure mandates. And, you know, just to set the stage a little bit, a year ago, between March and all the way through October, we definitely saw many states having just a straight prohibition on elective procedures. And you're right, there are a lot of different types of elective procedures. It does not mean cosmetic only. There were some CMS guidance, the American College of Surgeons, on how to triage and figure out if something is elective. But there were a lot of great stoppages this time last year that we're not seeing now.
Let's talk about that for a moment. Because a year ago when this happened, or more so last June, July, we had lots of big practices calling, lots of private equity sponsors calling, saying, you know, we've got to lay off employees right away or furlough employees right away. We got to talk to our banks right away. Have we all gotten sort of used to this? And sort of the practice view it as, okay, this is likely to be a couple weeks, so it's okay. Or what's your sense of the temperature out there on this? You know, I know, and of course, the event business, we recently had to move an event to virtual again. The first time we did that, it's always stressful. But this time, of course, it's very stressful, but it was more stressful then. But is this something that everybody, private equity sponsors and businesses, have gotten more used to? Like, you see restaurants with this gloomy look in their face, incredibly hard to hire people and very worried about lockdowns again. In the practice world, is there not nearly that concern as there was last time?
I don't think there's nearly the concern. And for many reasons, it's essentially the constant refrain that we're hearing throughout 2021 now of the new normal. And in the private equity world, it's the new way of doing deals, or it's the new way of attending school, or the new way of experiencing arts and entertainment. And some of that new way is the expectation of having to flex what you do. But elective procedures also, too, this particular conversation is a little bit different than those other industries. Because what you saw in 2020 is a lumping together of all different provider types with the immediate need for action of stop these elective procedures. And it was definitely done on the assumption that you were going to be able to get back, and in a lot of, you often would hear 8 weeks. 8 weeks is the standard. If you could put this off for 8 weeks, put it off. We're going to be able to get back. And when those stoppages happened, at the time, we didn't have the luxury of robust PPE at every practice and surgery center and imaging facility. We didn't have the telehealth availability. We didn't have vaccination. Whereas now, there's more of a recognition of, we're kind of just going to have to live with this probably for a while, some variation of this pandemic. And we have these other resources available such that not just hospitals, but surgery centers and all the different provider types have more of an ability to continue to care for patients and do these elective procedures in a way that's a lot safer than was available to us a year ago. And you have all this pent up demand as well for things that got put off in 2020 that really are things that people need to get done for their quality of life. So for those reasons, I think there's less concern, and you don't see a lot of activity and movement very much for local governments and states to do complete mandates. It's more decision-making by local hospital systems really on what they themselves are going to do versus a government mandate.
No, and that's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, a lot of it is local decision-making versus state as a whole, and the state politicians are a little bit more careful to act on those things now, and a lot more knowledgeable than they were too a year ago. Well, what a fascinating situation. We'll hope that this slowdown in elective practice procedures doesn't have a big impact on the operations of a lot of practices, doesn't lead to furloughs, doesn't lead to problems. Let's hope it's largely temporary, and temporary meaning 2 to 3 weeks versus 2 to 3 months. But we'll see how that plays out, and seems to be playing out in different parts of the country a little bit differently. Amber, as always, we are extremely thankful for your keen knowledge of what's going on in the business. Thank you for joining us today on the Becker Private Equity Podcast.
Thank you.